So we're continuing Torah versus heresy. We're going to be doing, it's going to be Mishlei Perek Hey, Psukim, Tezvav, Tuchav Gimel, finishing Perek Hey tonight. And it's going to be called Stay with the Wife of Your Youth. Okay, so again, each one will try to make it relatively independent, but it is contrasting it to the Isha Zona from last week. Okay, so if you recall, Isha Zona from last week was the Minas Napikarsis and the Nevi'e Habal who are trying to take you away from the Torah. And the Torah portrays them as, or the Navi Mishlei portrays them as trying to, they're really out for their own good. They're really using you. They're trying to use you in order to further their own goals. They want your money. They want your talents. They want your commitments. And they're not really concerned with developing your soul. Right, they're going to send you to Gehenna, and that's not their concern. It's simply using you to be part of their movement to further their own aims. Okay, and now Mishlei is going to bring in the argument to stay with the Torah, and not to fall for the tricks and the lies of these people. But it's going to make an argument now. Okay, so again, this is really it's really for, you know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with actually somebody this week. He was discussing, you know, he's having certain doubts, certain conflicts about the Torah. And, you know, and there's like different frameworks you can try to argue for the truth of the Torah, why somebody should, you know, stay with the Torah, not to be persuaded off of the path of the Torah. You know, you can get into intellectual arguments with them and showing them why Har Sinai and, you know, the proof of Torah, that's, you know, something like that, or, you know, you have rational arguments and things like that. But like, I think Mishlei is making a type of argument. It's, you know, we'll try to flesh it out this week, but it's a different type of an argument that's trying to argue with somebody. Don't leave the Torah. Don't, you know, don't abandon the Torah and fall for their lies and the sheker of these Nevi'e Baal or these the Mesis and the Apikarsim, or the attraction of the Isha Zona of the culture and the desires that they throw at you and they try to attract you with, and rather to stay with the Torah. Okay, so that's the general context. So I'm going to break this up into three sections. Okay, so the first one will be the first four psukim here, Tezvav Tiyidchas. Okay, so it's so Tezvav is Shasei Mayim Iborecha, so drink water from your own well, Vinoz Lemitoch Beirecha, and flowing water from your well. Okay, spring or something, like a source of flowing water. Okay, so drink water from your own well and flowing water from your own spring. Yafutsu mayinosecha chutza, your spring water will spread outwards. Barchovos palgemayim, into the streets, streams of water. Yihu lecha levadecha, it will be for you alone. Ve'ein lezarim itach, and there will be no strangers with you. Yihi mikorcha baruch, so your source will be blessed. Usmach me'eshes nurecha, and you will be happy from the wife of your youth. Okay. Okay. So so what does it mean, right? So mayim, of course, here means ein mayim el Torah, right? Hoy kol tzame l'chul mayim. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, shesei mayim yibarecha, mibor shenas lecha kadosh baruch hu. So drink water from your own well. So what is your well? What is your water source? So it's the water that you were given, lechalkecha, hitaras Moshe. Okay. So that is the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's your water is the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's your be'er. So what does it mean? First, so the pasuk says first drinking water from your own well. So Rashi says, borecha, your well is a mayim mechunasim. That's like gathered water, a well water, it's gathered. The nose of himself beirecha, mayim chayim, like flowing water, living water. Kolomar tchila k'mayim mechunasim, v'losof novim him b'ochem. So first, when you first drink from the water, it's like it's stationary. Okay, it's stationary water, and then eventually the water becomes flowing water. Okay, what does that mean? Yafutsu ma'inasecha chutsa. So your water, your springs will flow outwards. So Rashi says, so shetikne talmidim, v'torah horos v'rabim v'yitzel chashem. So in the end, you're going to acquire students, and you will give instructions publicly to the rabbim, and you'll acquire a reputation. Okay, that's like your water. Yafutsu ma'inasecha chutzah. Your water is going to go outside. Means like your teachings. You'll spread your teachings to the public, to the rabbim. You'll have many students. Barachovos palgimayim Rashi. Barachovos ir in the city streets. You know, the central streets. Tifutsena palgim mecha. It'll become public and it'll be in the public arena. Okay. I'll finish with the Rashi's on these second, and then we'll take it up. Yehi l'cha levadecha, and that will be for you alone. So ata levadcha, that will be for you alone. Tiskabid behem, you alone will receive the honor from them. V'lo yachlok achar imcha, nobody else is going to have that cover. Nobody else is going to take a portion of that benefit from the teaching, from the learning that you have and the teaching that you give. So, well, what's it referring to? Why is it referring to it's going to be for your alone? No other strangers will share in it. So it's in contrast to what we saw last week. Pen yisbu zarim kochecha. So in contrast to the system of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and the system of the Minim, so where they're basically trying to use you as a tool and to abuse you and to basically drain you of your resources and your energy and your money and all those things. Amar kan yulchal avadecha. So over here, when it's a contrasting to the system of the Torah, it's saying this Torah is not doing that to you. That's going to be just for you alone. Umitoch kacha, because the Torah is not doing that, not using you like those systems, yihi mekorcha baruch usmach meishas nirecha. Rashi, so what is the eishas nirecha? Hi a Torah shalomata mi nirecha. So it's a reference to the Torah that you learn in your youth. Okay, so we're going to take this up. We'll just take this up a little bit in depth. Okay, so we'll start at the beginning. Leslie's question is it's saying drink from your own water, from your well, which is a stationary water, and then you'll eventually nose limitoch beirecha, and then it'll become flowing water. So I think it actually is similar to the pasuk we saw earlier in Mishlei. It was in Perek Dalet. In the beginning of Perek Dalet, Hashem's message to Shlomo, it was. Perek Dalet Pasuk Zayin is Reishis Chachma Kenei Chachma B'chol Kinyancha Kenei Bina. So Rashi there says is Tchila Chachmascha L'mon Mecherem. So in the beginning of your Chachma, learn from others. Kenei Chashmu Pirav V'Achakach B'chol Kinyancha Kenei Bina. Tis Bonim Ba Me'atzmacha L'haskel Atamim Davar Mitoch Davar. So it's saying that you have to appreciate. It's basically we're trying to appreciate the Torah in contrast here, not. Understand the Torah in isolation. That's kind of what we did in Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet. Now we're really understanding the Torah in contrast to the system of the Apikorsim, the Minim, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, in contrast to their system and what they have. So it's saying the Torah provides you with the source of knowledge. Torah Shebichsav, you have Mishlei, you have Rashi, you have Gemara, Midrashim, you have a Rebbe who can teach you ideas. And that's Mayim Mechunasim, that's stationary water. It's Chachma that you get on its own, it's there. It's like a specific quantity, and that's the chachma you learn from others. And first, drink up that water. First, learn that water. It's available. You have an amazing source in the Torah. You have an amazing source of knowledge from over thousands of generations, built up wisdom and chachma in all different areas. So first, imbibe that knowledge and gather that in. And then it's nozle mitoch beirecha. And then you'll be able to, the Torah also, besides for the Torah providing for you a basis for a basis of information and knowledge and general chachma, but it also develops your creativity and your ability to generate new ideas and how to take the chachma of the Torah and apply it to new areas, new technologies, new social situations, new dynamics in the political world that are current. As well as deep new insights in metaphysics and philosophy and in psychology, all different areas that the Torah is meant to be furthered and developed and and it's meant to be advanced in every generation. So it does two things for you, Torah. It provides you with a sound foundation of knowledge and ideas, as well as showing you how to develop your own creativity and your own ability to generate new ideas and new concepts that are from the Chachmah Torah has, as well as in combination with the world around you. Okay, and it's saying, this parsha is trying to say, why are you giving that up? You have this amazing resource, this fresh water source, well water, fresh water, running water, this amazing source, running resource. Why would you walk away from that? Why would you leave this resource? Use it. Use this resource. It's here for you. You're born Jewish. You're born into the Torah. You're one of the fortunate people who was born around this incredible resource. Drink it. Drink it up. Don't abandon it. Don't let somebody persuade you to walk away from your own well, and not to walk away from a running stream of water. Well, don't abandon that ability to develop yourself, develop your own creative potential from the system, the religious system that you grew up with, that's right there in your hands, that's right there available for you. Not everybody has this amazing resource available to them. You do. Don't let somebody persuade you to abandon it. It's like, in a certain sense, the key message of what we're trying to get across. And if you develop this, you develop your own knowledge, your own ideas, your own ability to think and to analyze and to be creative, then eventually it's going to be more than just your own. Oh, that's great. You're developing your soul. You're developing your ideas and your ethics. And it's good for you as an individual to be perfected and to have a harmonious and good existence. But you're also going to become a source of good for others. Instead of your relationship to other people, in contrast to the system of Avodah Zarah, where your relationship to others is that they're basically trying to use you, and they're trying to use you in a parasitic way, where they're trying to live off you, use your, trick you and convince you, get your money, get your support, do all the things for you. That's what these people are trying to do with you. Here, your relationship to other people is going to be one where other people are a source of, they come to you because they want to learn from you. You have something to teach them, something to give to them. It's Yafutsu Mayasecha Chutza, Berchovos Pagei Mayim. The Torah's goal is to build you up and to develop your mind and your creativity such that you can teach others and share your knowledge and become a source of knowledge and chachma and wisdom and good for other people to grow off of you. And the relationship between you and other people, it won't be their parasites trying to, you know, use your energy and your money and all those other things, but rather it'll be people kind of trying to drink water, because you'll become a flowing spring and you'll be producing more and more ideas and you'll want to share with other people. And that experience of teaching other people, it won't be a drain on you. It's something that you'll enjoy. You'll find a sense of satisfaction from this. And it will produce kavod. If you listen to these people trying to convince you to abandon the Torah, you're going to go to their system. They're not giving up power. They're not going to give up money and control. They're just trying to get you. They want you to be a little peon, a little serf to them, and they're going to try to keep you that forever. But in the system of Torah, you can rise to the top. It's the Keser Torah is munach va'omed. Anybody who wants to come and acquire the Keser Torah and achieve kavod and respect and honor in the system of Torah, it's available for them. It's Tamachacha Mamzer is Kodem the Kohen Gadol Maaretz. Is everybody has that ability to really develop in Torah and creativity and to give a shir and to teach others as they get older and as they develop over time, and you'll become a high position. That's Rashi focusing on Kavod. At Levancha Tiskabid Behem. It's you'll eventually gain as an honor and respect in the system of Torah, as opposed to abandoning it for another system. It's Mishnah isn't making an argument like, what are you doing? What are these people offering you? They're trying to convince you to join their system. They're going to try to throw doubts in the Torah. Their system's got more doubts than the love we have of the Torah. And all things being equal, why are you going to their system? What are you going to gain by abandoning the wife of your youth, the religious system that you grew up with? And you have familiarity with the Torah. You have social connections with the Torah. Your family, you have a society of Rebbeim. There's a whole infrastructure in the religious system of the Torah. And now they're asking you to abandon it. What are you going to gain? You have such, it's such a more difficult challenge to succeed and to flourish if you abandon the Torah and you join some atheistic society, some alternate religious society, some crazy set of beliefs. You're coming into another system as a foreigner. You're going to be a foreigner to them. They're just going to look at you as a new recruit who they can use for themselves. And you're abandoning this incredible resource that you grew up with. I mean, so it's like, you know, it's like a different type of an argument. It's not arguing, I'm going to prove to you the Torah is true, I'm going to prove to you that's false. It's more just saying, what are you doing? Like, why would you do something like this? It's just, you're being persuaded by these people who are smooth talkers, who are presenting superficially attractive systems, but their motives are not good and they're not out for your best interest. The Torah is trying to develop your soul, trying to develop your mind, trying to raise you up. It's not trying to parasite off of you. The Torah's whole goal is to develop your perfection. As opposed to these systems, they're not trying to do that for you. They're trying to use you. And it's trying to contrast that. As the Torah is going to give you, if you follow it, a position of kavod and respect and honor and perfection and happiness and satisfaction. It's a good life. And you're just turning your back on her and you're betraying the Torah. For what? For what? Why are you doing this? Are you going to really, how hard is it? It's going to be incredibly difficult for you to succeed and flourish in this other system. And the people there are not going to be trying to help you out. While this system of your youth, it's going to be so much easier for you to succeed and be a happy person who flourishes and develops their soul if you maintain the system of the Torah. So, like, part of this whole argument that the Mishnah is making here is like, you got to appreciate what you do have. There's this emotion, the grass is always greener, you know, it's like, and you see the Isha Zona, she comes up to you, she's seducing you, she's trying to talk to you. And the Ish Medaber Tapuchos, the Achzar, he has no, they're unsuperficially, they're, she's attractive. He's presenting what seems to be good arguments, but like, look at what they're asking you to do. They're asking you to give up on this Torah, this incredible thing that you have available, which has a wonderful way to look at the world. And it's also focused on trying to perfect you and develop your soul and develop your ethical nature. It's like, who's doing that? What other system is doing that? That's what their objective is. Maybe show me another religious, that's what their whole religious system is. It wants to perfect your mind, your soul, your emotions. And then it also wants to give you this and help you. Its ultimate objective for you is for you to become this tremendous leader and Talmud Chacham, to rise you in society. That's its objective for every single member. It doesn't care where you're born. You can be the mamzer, and the objective for you is to become the greatest Talmud Chacham and be the leader of the whole society. That's the Torah's objective for every individual. If you want to come, go there and take it. What other system is like that? And the key point here is because we're talking to Jews here. And this is not a recruiting. You don't use Mishle to go to the other guys and try to get them. This is a book talking to Jews. Eishes Nirecha is the Torah. Appreciate the Eishes Nirecha. Appreciate the wife of your youth. And realize, like, when you're giving up the wife of your youth for some other woman, it's not, you'll never get that same benefit of any other life, whether it's another religious system, whether it's a system of, in the modern era, a secular modern system of material, you know, scientific, secular materialism, whatever their, you know, the common thing is here. You join that other system, you weren't raised in there. You're not part of that world. You're coming in as an outsider, and they're going to look at you as an outsider. And that system doesn't offer you the same thing. Well, what is it offering you? What is it promising you that's so amazing? But there is this emotion. It presents itself as superficially attractive. If you don't look past, if you don't look deep into it, you just look at the superficial beauty and attraction of the of that system, it is enticing. And the Ish Medaber Tapucho is going to talk badly about the Torah and he's going to twist it. He's not going to focus on the good things about the Torah. He's going to focus on the things of Torah that present problems to you, that you don't understand, that are in conflict with modern day sensibilities. And it's create doubts. And what about this question, that question? All of a sudden, you don't know, is the Torah good or not? And you lose sight of all the good the Torah has available for you and what it's doing for you. And that's really the idea of Mishle, is trying to get the person to reject the men, reject the apikores, reject the Isha Zona who's trying to seduce him, by making this appreciating what you do have and appreciating how you'll never be able to get. She can never offer you Eishes Nirecha. No matter what she offers you, it's never going to be Eishes Nirecha. It'll never be the indigenous system. A person will always be more successful in this system of their youth than by changing that for another system. So to leave the Torah, you have to be absolutely convinced the Torah is wrong, this other system is true, and this other system is going to be offering you a bad, good way of life and something better in this world, the next world. You got to be sure before you leave the Torah. Don't just for a superficial fling turn your back on the Torah and, you know, stab the Torah in the back and leave the Torah because you're just curious. You're throwing away something that you can't get back, something that's incredible value and that's, you know, looking to perfect you and to benefit you. And you could rise in the Torah. So that's the nature of the argument Mishlei is making here. Okay. It just the last point on those psukim is I think when it's saying Eishes Nirecha, it's not Chachma anymore. You see, I think Chachma is we've been talking about Chachma, but Torah is a particular embodiment of Chachma. Okay, a particular embodiment of Chachma. And when it's typified as Eishes Nirecha, like the wife of your youth, it doesn't mean Chachma. Chachma is Eishes Nirecha means the Chachma as embodied in the religious system of Torah that you've grown up with. And that's why it's called Eishes Nirecha. Like the Eishes Chayil is not Chachma, Eishes Chayil is Torah. You understand? Torah is like the last part, you know, third to last part, Eishes Chayil, is Rabos Banos Asu Chayil, about the Lisa Kulana. So is that Torah is a daughter. Torah is like a daughter of wisdom. Wisdom has many daughters. You know, philosophy, psychology, mathematics, you know, Torah is one of the daughters of wisdom. You know, in a sense, there's a category, a big category, if you want to be a little abstract, of wisdom. And then there's subjects that make up that larger category. Now, Torah is one category, one subject in wisdom, the daughters of wisdom. And it's just the greatest daughter of them all. Avat Elisa Kulana is Torah is the greatest daughter of wisdom. But when it's, I think, Eishes Nirecha, it's specifically a reference to Torah. I don't think it really has that double meaning of Chachma and Torah. Like a lot of times in Mishlei here, you can learn when it says Chachma can mean Torah, but I think Eishes Nirecha in particular means not Chachma in the broader sense, but really Torah in the more limited sense, because that's like the religious system of your youth. Okay. Now let's take up the next two psukim. It's Ayeles Ahavim v'Yaeles Chein.
Guys having fun?
So the Torah is Ayeles. So it's Ayeles is a female ram. So it's a ewe, right? A beloved female ram. That's a strange comparison. I'm telling you, I don't know the animals. I'm not so good about why it's comparing it that way. Okay, I'm not gonna get to how Chazal explain it. The Ya'alas Chain, and that's like a goat, right? An ibex, since Lifkin holds an ibex. So an ibex of grace. Okay, Dadeha Yiravucha Becholis. So her Dadeha is like, I guess, the udders here in a sense, will nourish you, right, all constantly. Be'ahavasa Tishketamet. So in her love, you should be shoget tamid. Okay, shoget is a funny word to translate. Okay, tishket tamid. Okay, that's the key word here, tishket tamid. And this is a pasuk. The Rambam in the Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva uses this word over and over. It is you should be shoget batamid, shoget batamid. He never defines it for you. So it's an important term. Vilama sishke b'ni b'zara. So why should you be shoget? We'll use it. It means like a certain obsession, involvement, you know. I mean, something descriptively it means that. It's not how Rashi can translate it. That's how the first John Rashi is. L'vlama tishke b'ni b'zara u'sechabe k'ek nachriya. Again, the comparison. Why should you be shoge? Why should you be obsessed and involved with a stranger and cling to the chest, the bosom of the foreigner, the stranger, when the Torah is this ayeles ahavim v'yeles chen d'der yavucha b'choleis? Okay. Again, I don't really know what to say about the fact that it's making the comparison to like these beloved animals. It's possible that that it's like if you understood, if you knew a little bit more about how animals, like the relationship between animals, you know, ibexes, males and females, or sheep, you know, the rams and then the ewes, then that somehow this would mean something to you. I just don't exactly know. And my, you know, my limited, a little Google and Wikipedia, I wasn't able to reveal anything. And then Chazal say something, but I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
Rabbi Zimmer.
Yeah, Leslie.
No, I'm not.
So Leslie's saying based upon, where was that, Leslie? The Cincino, you said? Cincino translation or something? So that it's a reference to these animals are able to transverse high places and go places that other animals can't go. And it's, you know, like in the Torah, that could take a person into areas that they're not able to reach otherwise. And that's true. And that's good. And I'll accept that. I guess the ibex is some sort of mountain goat that does climb really high. So, and it's graceful and it's smooth and there's, you know, so it's almost like this is a pasuk from Shir Shirim, honestly. It feels like it belongs there, but, okay, we'll stick with Rashi because Rashi doesn't really give us anything on those first two. You know, you see how limited we are. We don't have Rashi to help us here. But so what does it mean by Avasa Tishke Tamid? So Rashi says, Re'isi b'divrei Moshe Darshan, Tishke Tasog Tamid. So she's like constantly involved. Okay. Okay. Fun. And who Lashon Arvi? So it's not a Lashon of Hebrew. It's Lashon of, I guess, Arabic or something. Fine. So Rabbi Seinu Pirshi, that's the first thing, to be involved constantly. Okay. Rabbi Seinu Pirshi, Lashon Mishke, Kimashmo, means like a mistake. Ba'avor Avasa, because of your love for the Torah, Tiyesh Shogig Bishar Asakecha. So you'll be Shogig, you'll make mistakes or forgetful in all your other endeavors. Kihi Mishameres Ashacha, because the Torah will protect you on for other things. Amra al Allah Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, Shedorish Peshuk Tachton Shel Tzipori. So he was like giving a drash a shir on the lower shuk, the lower marketplace in Tzipori. Ustina Muta Peshuk Elyon, and he would leave his like sadin, I guess his like a cloak or something, like a shirt, in the higher shuk, right, in the higher one. Pamachas Ba'adam Lito Matzah Bosarv Kar Chalav. So a person came to like take it, steal it, and then there was like a snake guarding it. You know, it's basically like some sort of like hashkacha here. Is that you can be totally, the idea is like when a person's the idea is a person should be so engrossed in Torah. That's the first idea, Moshe Darshan. Is the idea is that that the ideas of Torah can nourish you, can like just like, you know, like the milk, like it builds up your soul. It's ideas that constitute your very existence, your being, your moral fabric. And it's, you could be constantly involved in it. It's something that's like a complete pursuit. It can take up your entire life, your entire existence. And it becomes like the lifeblood for you, the milk that nourishes you. And you could be osik in it constantly. And to the point where you, it's like the mission in Pirkei Avos of not Kovetim and Torah, of Asim Melechta Torah Kevin Melechta Harai, is that when you put all your energies into Torah, then everything else can becomes like secondary in a sense. Whether, like the Ram says, whether it happens or whether it doesn't happen. It's not that you're. It's a pretty extreme example, Elazar ben Pedas. It's kind of interesting if Rashi means like there's a hashkacha here, which would be a little bit unusual in Mishlei. I think it more means that two things. One is that when you want to succeed in an area, sometimes it depends. Not every areas are the same, but sometimes if you put all your energy into that area, it kind of makes it worse. There's some areas that make it worse. And sometimes if you put your energy into something else and you remove your energy from the area, you're able to think more clearly about it. So I think that's probably what it means. Like in terms of like business, a person who's totally obsessed with business, constantly thinking about it, he brings to that realm, he brings a lot of emotions and conflicts and stresses that he has that really, becomes obsessive about that other area, and it doesn't let him. It's not an area that obsession really makes a person better at. by putting too much energy into it. And really you're better off in a certain sense by being forgetful about those other areas and being Osek in Torah. And like, yes, you have those other things. In a sense, they're arai, they're secondary in your life. And by your energy being going to Torah, the energy your mind will be freed up, that when you deal with these other areas, you'll be much more rational about it. You're not going to have the same conflicts, the same energy. You're not going to be trying to get the same psychological satisfaction from it that a person who wants to make their career, their life, that causes them to be unsuccessful in a financial sense to some degree, because they're trying to get something from a job and that other than money itself. So they make decisions about that because they want to advance, they want kavod, they want power, they want, you know, respect or social, you know, certain social satisfaction. But if you can get all those satisfactions from Torah, you know, your career is to be a Talmid Chacham, and you can get social satisfactions from your shiurim and from your chavrusas, and you can use your energies and your involvement in the area of Torah, then your job becomes just a job, and you're able to, what do you need it for? It's a means to an end to make money. And you can make decisions about your job and things like that in order, as it is, as a means to an end, what it is, as opposed to trying to get something more for it. It's not, your job really isn't made to be the essence of your entire existence. And when you try to turn it into your entire being and who you are, you end up not only becoming oftentimes frustrated because it's very hard. Everybody's competing to be the number one guy. It's not so easy. But you also kind of lose what it is there for, just as a means to an end, to make money, be able to support yourself so you can do something that's actually meaningful with your time, with your existence. But you need something to do. Your person needs a goal in life, needs something to sink their teeth into, to devote their energy to. So the Torah is ba'avasa tishke tamid. You can be osig in Torah constantly, and you could basically forget about everything else and put your whole existence into the Torah and be involved in it constantly, and you'll be nourished from the Torah. You'll get all your satisfactions from it, such that, and then all those other things, the Torah is going to help you with it. First of all, the Torah will make you wise, it'll make you intelligent, it'll make you a better person. You know, a big part about succeeding in these other things is people skills, you know, and you know, nothing helps you do better than humility. You know, the Torah will help you become humble, help you pursue shalom and avoid conflict and jealousies and pettiness and things like that. It'll perfect you emotionally, perfect you intellectually, and that will help you succeed in these other areas. As well as once you're no longer getting your source of sustenance and existence from these other areas, and from the Torah becomes your source of nourishment, then these other areas can be just what they are, and you'll succeed in them much better when you give them the rightful place as a means to an end, and your whole existence is Torah. And that's something you're looking for something like that. And the argument is, why would you make this isha zona and this other lama tishke v'ni bizara techabek hechek nachriya. Why would you try to use her for that? The other, the isha zona, the other systems, in order to do that, if you're going to be devoting your life and your existence and your whole energy and your mental focus to something, do it to the Torah, who's been there for you your entire life. You were raised on her. She gave you all these good things. This is a system that's worthy of you devoting your existence to. And you need something in life that you find worthy of devoting your life to, your energy to, your mind to, your values, and that you need something like that. And if you take something else that's not appropriate for that, you're gonna be wasting your life and ruining your life. And the Torah is something that has been a trusted companion for you. She's been there for you from your youth. She's given you so much good stuff. You're able to engage with her constantly. And why would you try to replace her with something else, which is not really going to have that capacity, and it's not interested in your own good? Why are you going to devote your existence to something else, which is going to use you and not going to give you back what the Torah has given you? So two things bother me about this, though, is the Rashi with Rebbe Elazar ben Pedas. One is that it seems like it's it's hard to explain it in a natural causative framework. the idea of he's being Dorish in the lower Shuk, and then a snake is Karach in the higher Shuk. You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to give a rational causal relationship between him ignoring his possessions and a snake having to guard it for him? It doesn't seem like it. It almost seems like Rashi is trying to say that with the Torah, because the Torah is real, because Kadosh Baruch Hu really protects those people who guide the Torah, there's going to be a hashkacha to help you succeed if you're pursuing the Torah, because God likes the Torah. He wants the Torah to succeed. And if you're joining up with God and you're joining forces on his team, then you're going to have his assistance in your business matters, because your business matters are going to facilitate your learning Torah. And there you're making your business matters under the system of Tashkachas Hashem, because you're using the money you get from learning from business in order to learn Torah. So it's kind of like, it seems to me like he's bringing in a Hashkacha Pratis argument, which again is not impossible. It's just unusual in Sefer Mishlei. It's not, but again, it's not impossible, and it does happen sometimes. And it does seem like Rashi is making recourse to something like that. The other thing that bothers me about the Elazar ben Pedas is he was incredibly poor. Like, we did this story a couple months ago. Elazar ben Pedas was like so poor that he was dying. Then God came to him in a dream, and Elazar ben Pedas said, I want to be rich. And God said, I'd have to like change the whole world in order to make you rich. And he said, Elazar ben Pedas, that is my closer to the end of my life than the beginning of life. That whole story. I forgot where that Gemara was in. I don't remember exactly the daf. But I think as well as in Pedas, unless I'm making a mistake. So it's that he's incredibly poor. So it's a funny example to use him as the paradigm of somebody who's completely involved in Torah and forgets everything else, and God takes care of him. Yeah, like God took care of him that somebody didn't steal his shirt, but he's still incredibly poor, you know. So that's you know, I just feel like I'm missing something in this Rashi. The fact that the Rashi is explaining it through like Hashkacha Pratis, which is not the worst thing, and the fact that Reb Elazar ben Pedas is the example. It's also such a strange idea. I just feel like there's something more here that I'm not quite getting. Okay, so we'll leave that as an open question. We'll do the last three psukim in the parak here. Chafal Chavez Chagimel here. Okay, so these psukim, you know, I was really ambivalent about putting it at the end of this section or making it the beginning of the next section. So it's like kind of a transition between the two, or arguably something else, but it's a strange psukim a little bit. It does bring in Hashem, which is always, you know, again, you have to figure out how Hashem plays a role when directly, which could support the fact that it really is time Hashkacha Pratis in these prior two psukim in Yud-Tes and Chaf. Okay, so Chaf Aleph to Chaf Gimel. Ki nochach eini Hashem darkei ish. So the eyes of Hashem are opposite, or looking at the ways of a person, the ways of a man. V'chom agalosav mefales. And all his ways, God, you know, weighs them out. Weighs in terms of like a shekel on a scale. So God weighs out all the paths of a person. I won't use that. Okay, all the paths of a person Hashem weighs. Avonosav yilkadunu as a rasha. So the sins will trap the wicked. Ubechavle chatasa yitamach. And with the rope of his sins, he will be hung. He will hang himself with the rope of his sins. Hu yamas be'in moser. So he dies from the lack of moser. Right, because he doesn't accept, because he doesn't receive musr, he's not willing to accept criticisms. Uberovi valto yishke, and from the tremendous amount of his foolishness, he makes mistakes. Okay, so let's see, Rashi, what does it mean? So Hashem Hashem sees what a person is doing, and Hashem weighs out the person, what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. Okay, so strange pasuk. What is it doing here, right? What's it doing here? Where's it coming from? Okay, so I think, as I say, it could be this is justifying why Rashi is bringing hashkafa pratis in the prior pasuk, and we'll see next week. It really is going to get into your personal relationship with Hashem about the Torah. That's really going to be the whole content of next week's shiur. So I think what it means is like this, is that, again, it's the conclusion of this prior thing, of you're trying to make a decision between the Torah, should I leave the Torah and follow this Isha Zona or not, right? And the Mishnah was saying, don't make that decision in the presence of the Isha Zona, but that's ostensibly what's going on here. People are trying to convince you to leave the Torah, and Mishnah is arguing, don't give up the Torah, okay? Now, another argument of don't give up the Torah is that the Torah is Hashem's baby. You know, that's Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael, and he cares about the Torah. He's concerned about the Torah. He's going to make sure the Torah continues to exist, and he does not like it very much when people betray the Torah or do things to harm the Torah. And when if you abandon the Torah, you're asking for it. You're asking God to really get involved and to punish you and to do something about it. And you should be aware, you're not just free to make this decision, but there are consequences. God knows what you're doing. He sees it, he judges you, and he's going to punish you for abandoning the Torah. So it's like, besides the fact that even if you were a completely free agent, and you were able to decide, do you want to go with the Torah or do you want to go with the Isha Zona? Okay, fine. That's not the case, because there is a bias towards the Torah because it's Eishes Nirecha. That was the prior argument. But besides that, there's another point here, is you're going to betray the Torah. You're not a free agent. There's a punishment coming. There's Nochach, Ki Nochach Einei Hashem Dark Ish V'chol Magaloso Tefales. Mephales is God's looking at what you're doing, and you're going to get punished for your actions. So it's like another reason. You got to realize, in a certain sense, you're already in. You're already involved in the Torah, and there's consequences for you for abandoning the Torah and betraying the Torah. Okay, and that, and you have to take that into account. That besides for the natural consequences of losing a source of knowledge and not being able to rise up in society and be a place of kavod and prestige, and the fact that people are going to be using you, and you're giving up a good source of perfection, which has nourished you throughout your life. Besides for the fact, there's consequences from Hashem, who likes the Torah and is going to be aware, is aware of what you're doing, and is going to punish you for doing that. Okay. And Avonosav Yilkidu Esarasha Ubechav Lechatasa Yitamach. Right? So it means he gets trapped and he hangs himself with the rope of his sins. So it means is that that those bad traits that cause a person to betray the Torah, the fact that he's always looking for something better. Let's just see one example, why you would go for the Isha Zona. Because you're always looking for something better. Whatever you have, you always think there's something better. So those kinds of, or the fact that you've no Akara Satov, sometimes people, the fact that the Torah has given them so much makes them feel dependent, and they want to feel that they break away from the Torah just to show they don't want to feel dependent upon the Torah, you know? So certainly the fact the person can't express appreciation for something that has done something good for them, or the fact that they always think there's something better out there, whatever it is, any of the different emotions, or they're attracted to like superficial pleasure or temper in the moment, those attributes which cause you to abandon the Torah, once you abandon this Torah, those bad midos aren't going to go away. And those bad midos are bad midos in general. It's the very bad midos that cause you to abandon the Torah are bad midos in life. And those are the ropes of your sins. You'll hang yourself with them. Is these bad midos will cause you to destroy yourself. If you don't work on these midos, not only are you going to end up abandoning the Torah and it's going to be a disaster, but these bad midos will be the very, very things that will lead to your own downfall. And you will destroy yourself. They will end up being, they will destroy you, right? The very midos that cause you to abandon the Torah are self-destructive midos, which will ruin your life in the long term. Avonosav Yilkidu Esarasha. It's going to be setting a trap for yourself. You know, you have to basically work on these midos, work on the idea of being loyal and appreciating the good that you have, and not always looking for something better than what you have, and not always just pursuing the next new thing. Those are bad midos in general, and And if you don't overcome them and you give in to them and you follow the Isha Zona and you abandon the Torah, you're going to end up, those midos are going to ruin your life naturally on their own. Okay. And again, it is Hu Yamas Bein Musar Barov Valto Yishke, is that these things will cause you to make mistakes, and your inability to correct them and your refusal, right, to listen to your teachers and to listen to your society, to correct them, the Musar and of the Torah and your Rebbeim and the teachers, that a person refuses, right? Like we saw in Pasuk Yibiz, Eich Sanesi Musar Betuchachas Natz Libi. Person doesn't want to be told there's anything wrong with them. They don't want told they have bad midos, they have to change. But because of that, the person gives up the Torah, the source of his life, and ends up not correcting the bad midos that lead to his destruction. Okay, so I guess again to make the two new arguments that are being made here in the last few psukim of why not to abandon the Torah for the Isha Zona is because one of them is you have to contend with Hashem, you have to contend with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is not just a decision you're making in a vacuum. You're making it with God. God cares what you do. He sees what you do and he cares. That's something you might want to factor in. And number two is you got to evaluate the emotions that are causing you to abandon the Torah and think about those emotions really healthy. And are they, if you don't deal with them, and if your refusal to listen to teachers and your desire to pursue the newest fancy thing and your inability to recognize the good that something has done for you, those midos are not going to go away when you leave the Torah. They're going to still be there. And those midos will ultimately destroy you. You're better off staying with the Torah, flourishing, succeeding, trying to rise up, work on those midos, try to erase them, listen to the Musar from the Torah, from your Rebbeim, from your society, change yourself, and don't antagonize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not worth it. He made the whole world. He can, don't mess with him, and you'll be, you know, more successful. You'll be happier, you'll flourish, and you'll eventually be teaching other people, and you'll be a source of good for others, and you're not going to become a parasite. You're not going to be something that these parasites feed upon. Yeah, I do think that it really does support. The fact that the psukim do transition to Nochach Einei Hashem Dark Ish does support that Rashi. That Ba'avas HaTishka Tamid, it's reasonable to bring in, besides for the natural idea of being involved in Torah and forgetting about everything else, not trying to make other things more than they really are, thereby harming them, those other activities, trying to get more from your career than it really lends itself to. But it's reasonable why Rashi is bringing in Hashkafa Pratis here. That is another argument. That is another aspect of why being involved in the Torah, dedicating yourself to the Torah that Hashem cares about, will bring about a Hashkafa for you. The really the Hashkafa is for the Torah. There's Hashkafa for the Torah. That's like an important theme. Eishes Chayil kind of brings it in a little bit. But there's God's primary concern in this world is the survival and the flourishment of the Torah itself. And when you join up with the Torah, you're really tapping into that hashkacha, you know, and your financial success is now going to be supported by God because it will lead to flourishing of the Torah, teaching Torah to others, things like that. So it's just like another reason why you know, there's something real about the Torah, real about hashkacha, as opposed to these other fake systems where you just completely lose that entire advantage. Yeah. In terms of the other question, we have why Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was so poor. You know, to some degree, I think that's the Gemara over there. I think maybe it was in Titus, but I could be wrong. Is that the Gemara there was basically saying that there was no real way. It's not everything. What is exactly, I don't want to say possible, but what is possible? What within the realm of Ashkacha? It's basically we dealt with that. That was the Bana Mizana. That was like the whole point of that Gemara, is that it's not necessarily, not everything can necessarily be accomplished. There's other factors and there's a limitation to what the Hashkacha could do for one individual because of the consequences for everybody else. I forgot exactly what we called that shiur, but it was a few months ago. Let me see if I can. Yeah, right. That was the shiur was called Mazel and Hashkacha. So I think that was like almost the point of it, is like you have to recognize there's this interaction between these two systems of Hashkacha Pratis and then the natural law. And it's not such a simple area. So I guess the answer is to some degree is the whole point of that shiur over there, was that even though there is Hashkacha Pratis for Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, and you see, for example, from this one story that he was teaching Torah and whatever Hashkacha was capable of doing in order to protect his possessions, it did. But that doesn't guarantee that if you involve yourself in Torah, you're going to become, you know, incredibly wealthy. It doesn't quite work that way. There's other factors. There's mazel to take into account. And, you know, the ultimate outcome is a combination of mazel and hashgacha. And that's kind of the point of those Gemaras. But the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Pinchas did have hashgacha to some degree to protect his possessions or whatever it was, that you see from this story and this Rashi. But why that hashgacha doesn't just make everybody who learns Torah rich, that's kind of, you have to go to that shiur of mazel and hashgacha and those Gemaras, which really basically try to deal with that issue. And it's a sticky issue. So maybe I shouldn't have raised it in this year. This year, the whole world is perfect. You learn Torah, you become rich, you know? But life is a little more complicated than that. And that's kind of how we try to deal with that issue in the other shiur.